This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me for what you would have to consider a fallow week in the Villa verse, Mr. Chris Budd, Mr. Phil Shaw. No Villa action this weekend, but
hello, sir.
We are hurtling like a meteorite towards transfer deadline day. Phil Shaw is riding that comet.
Waiting for it to slam shut, as it always does. Never just closes, never nothing like that. Has to slam shut.
Yes, we will be discussing that as the main part of the show, with a few little insights I've gathered from meetings with Aston Villa in terms of whether there'll be any action or not. More subtle than anything, but stay tuned for that. This week, I did go to Villa Park for a fan consultation group meeting called as a reaction to the Daily Telegraph announcing our potential shirt sponsors for next season. But more of that in the Villa news. What have you gents been up to? Anything interesting this week?
Oh, David, it's that time of the year, isn't it? Tax returns and all that horrendous stuff.
Oh, shit, yeah. I shouldn't be doing this podcast, really. I should be completing
it's not,
mine.
It's not been a fun week.
It takes a few days, at least, doesn't it, trawling through that?
Yeah, and the thing of course, we are returning for the tax year coming out of lockdown, so of course you realise that, crap. But never mind. Otherwise, it's been lovely. Weekend off Villa. Magic of the FA Cup, apparently.
I did watch Wrexham versus Sheffield United. I thought that was old school cup
game.
Mate,
it was great. Ryan Reynolds' documentary would be brilliant for that.
Yeah, although he didn't really get the ending that he paid for when that Sheffield United player got sent off. And the BBC just conveniently failed to show why. They kept showing the moment after the incident that they repeated it like four times. Even the commentator said, no, that's the incident after the sending off offence.
Although I'm sure Sheffield United aren't too arsed about having a replay.
Oh, no, Sheffield United are delighted. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds didn't pay enough to get the win. He just paid enough to get one of their chaps sent off, assuming that would be enough to secure the 3-2 victory. But that finished 3-3 if you haven't watched it, but entertaining game and on a good muddy pitch and all that kind of old school stuff that you like to see.
Diggers behind one of the nets, stand being built.
It's got everything.
Good old days.
Actually, that will look similar to Villa Park in a year's time.
Allegedly.
One stand missing behind the goal.
With a Villa token, you can sit in the digger for the whole 90 minutes.
Well, do you remember when Arsenal knocked down the North Bank many years ago in the sort of like early mid 90s, and they had like an artist's impression of what the stand would look like, didn't they, behind it? So when they'd score, they scored in front of it. It was weird looking like banner. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember some other similar.
It was in that era when it was all the Taylor Report stuff, wasn't it? And everyone was knocking down their terraces.
Because obviously the Holt went as well. I'm trying to remember what they had up.
The Holt end, I remember this one quite well because we knocked it down on the last day of the season. But by the time we played the first home game, which if my memory serves me right, was Southampton, the structure was kind of half done and they had the front maybe 10 rows of the lower tier up to the sort of exit point of the vomitories. That was already done and seated, so you kind of had a few fans in this whole end already. But the upper tier wasn't even nearly done, and they were kind of let fans come in dribs and drabs up until it was December, wasn't it?
Before we go on, just a quick update on The Last of Us, as I promised you. Seen the second episode. Still, you know, it looks pretty token gesture, zombie style stuff. So still waiting for it to kick off. Apparently, according to Phil Schur, it really kicks off in the second season.
Yes.
Or it will do now it's been green lit.
Is that like Villa under Emery?
It is. Slow burn
and then oomph, apparently.
Warp speed.
We shall see. Still waiting for the greatest show on earth, blah, blah, blah. But here we go. Right, coming up in this show, presently the greatest show on earth. First of all, we'll catch up on the Villa news, what's been happening while the first team have been away, having fake World Cup parties at the Belfry, etc. We'll get into the 3 points. We'll do the order as it used to be before the last couple of weeks. 3 points followed by Media Muppets before looking at the transfer situation and weighing up the picture for the rest of the season before having a game of Emery's clipboard, which we missed out on last week. Right, as always, we have to decide what news to start with. Should we go with man stabbed at Harrods amid reports of a fight? This is when you know that the society in the UK is on meltdown, real decline and meltdown, because one does not stab one fellow's man in Harrods, does one?
You know,
it shouldn't happen.
Not unless it's like a duel or something.
Anywhere else apart from Hamleys and Harrods is fair game, but not those two institutions.
And not in the Royal Borough.
Yes, exactly. In the Royal Borough of London town.
It's Kensington and Chelsea.
I think we have to go for Villa news, surely.
I think we've got to. It's not a great story, that.
We can't fester in the decline of the society that we live in. Villa news it is. Right, no movement in the transfer window thus far since last we spoke. Well, is it over?
Or are they about to drop the big dog on Monday or Tuesday?
The big dog.
To quote Tim Westwood.
didn't he get shot and also was...
disgraced, yes.
But yeah, disgraced, I think, is a polite way of putting it. The big dog. Surely the big dog hasn't got a perm. We'll discuss that perm later on in the show.
Like a more of a 90s Villa player, more of like a sort of a Darius Kibichi haircut, perhaps. Or more of like a ginger Alexi Lalas vibe.
Well, here's something for you. We contacted the club when we saw this Daily Telegraph story about the sponsor, gambling sponsor, blah, blah, blah. And we said, look, we'd appreciate a meeting because they're all about engagement because, you know, the government's, the fan-led reviews basically said you must engage with your supporters. So they made a point of when they were considering a ticket reseller to get us in. I didn't actually go to that meeting, but the people that were there talked the club down and, you know, they made a big thing about saying, oh, you know, it's good that we had this engagement. We've decided not to take this ticket reseller on. Anyway, so they made a big point of that. And then you think, well, why aren't they consulted on this one? And so they said, we can meet 24th of January. And this was like 10 days later. And we were thinking, well, can we meet sooner, please? Because that's a bit far out. And they said, well, there's, you know, the transfer window we have to take care of. And you're thinking, well, the 24th of January is within the transfer window. So I don't understand that logic. Now, everything Villa have done in the transfer window happened before the 24th of January. Conspiracy theory.
Dum, dum, dum.
They did their in-house promo on announcement on Jean Duran.
Yep.
So once that was out the way, then they're thinking, yeah, we can talk to the consultation group. So is that it? Just a little insight there. Nothing more, nothing less. But one to ponder. Anyway, meanwhile, Villa have actually escaped the broadcast schedule changes of Sky Sports, BT, etc. So the Bournemouth and Palace home games will be Saturday 3 p.m. in March. This was the broadcasting reshuffle for March. The only thing that has got changed, which actually wasn't down to TV broadcast, was the away game against West Ham has been put back from a Saturday to a Sunday because of West Ham's UEFA League exploits and involvement. Meanwhile, at the fan consultation group, we did speak a little bit about Duran and Juan Pablo Angel's video that announced Duran's signing. Apparently Duran's mum was very emotional and very happy about it, and you know, obviously gave her a little insight that maybe this was a good club to join after all. So the Duran family seem to be happy at the moment on their decision of joining the B6 massive sponsorship deal. There's a statement that's gone out. It's all kind of semantics. Because we're mid-contract with Cazoo, you can't really go around talking about your next sponsorship while you're in the middle of your current one. The statement says the Villa FCG's understanding that the reports are correct and BK8 will be the new Frontier shirt sponsor for the next three seasons. To boil the whole meeting down into brass tacks, outside the top six is a different market. When you're in Europe, you're privy to a different world of sponsors. Gambling sponsors don't touch the top six because, in terms of front of shirt, because it's out their league in terms of what they're willing to pay. Outside the top six, where it is just exposure through the Premier League and no European added exposure of Champions League, etc., betting companies are paying twice as much, and that's the simple maths here. The club have thought, well, we would rather have twice as much, and you know, that might pay the wages for two or three players, than to take the next deal, which is half as much, and not have that gambling presence. The timing of it is also why they've snatched this deal, because if you've been paying attention, the government have been itching to bring in a ban on gambling front of shirt sponsorship. The only reason why it hasn't really been put into legislation is because of the merry-go-round of prime ministers and the Tory party having to ice any white paper legislation. So that will come through. So this is like the last. I mean, Villa consider they're in a good position that it's actually at market, the sponsorship. And this is one last throw of the dice for the betting companies to throw money at things. And I've spoken about what I can speak about in an extra podcast show for My Own Man Said members. So if you are a member, do check that out. So in terms of morals, I mean, this is the Premier League. There are no morals, are there, really?
No, in a word.
No.
Meanwhile, on the pitch, while the first team hasn't been playing, the men's, the under-21s, beat their feeder club, West Brom, 4-0. They've been strengthened by a few returns, haven't they? Arjen Rakhi, Brad Young's back. He was up in Scotland, wasn't he?
Yeah, it didn't go particularly well, that, from the looks of it.
Yeah, Kessler, Hayden, and also Sinisala, the keeper, who was actually on the bench for Villa's last... Yeah, against Southampton, one of the two goalkeepers on the bench. If you want a context of where the under-23s are, under-21s, under-23s, it's all the same, isn't it? In the Premier League 2, they're actually in the second division, aren't they? And they're in the lower half of the second division. So when people are always talking about playing the kids, etc., there's the reality of where Villa are.
Yep.
I've made my view very well known the last week.
Yeah, the weird thing is, though, even though they're sixth out of 11 teams in the Division 2 table, they are the best away team. They've played six, won four, drawn one, lost one. It's just their home form's atrocious. One win in six. What could, is that new Bodymore Heath?
Yeah. It's a place to play at that when the crowd turns on you.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. Meanwhile, at Villa Women, a couple of games since we last spoke, they got knocked out the Conti Cup quarterfinals by Arsenal, 3-0, which probably expected. Arsenal are one of the top dogs, one of the big dogs, to use Chris Budd's terminology.
Yeah, I won't be using that again.
Then they played another cup game in the FA Women's Cup against...
And it was a cricket score.
Against Fylde.
Yeah.
I didn't even know where Fylde was. I had to look it up, and I realised it's like a county. Blackpool, Morecambe. I was not aware of this Lancashire name part of the woods.
Oh, I'm sure Villa were glad they played at home, though.
Although, you know, day out Blackpool while you're there. 11-0. Some of the big hitters were playing. Rachel Daly scored a hat-trick. She also missed a penalty.
Well, there were six up in 26 minutes, weren't they? Ridiculous.
This is what the men's team should have done against Stevenage, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story.
We should have done against Man United when we were 2-0 up in about 10 minutes.
All right, anything else? Or shall we have some media muppetry?
Yeah, let's do that.
Right then, Phil, what's in the media muppet trough?
Well, as it's transfer season, we'll have to go to Football Insider, don't we?
Hey!
Hurrah.
They've really outdone themselves this time. Nearly a week after Morgan Sanson left to go on loan to Strasbourg, in fact, he may even have made his debut by the time this came out, Football Insider sources said Villa were preparing to offer him in a January swap deal for rumoured target Mario Guendouzi. I mean, obviously Google does not exist in the offices of Football Insider.
This is one of those where you've already written, I don't know, 363 Mathieu Guendouzi stories to Aston Villa, and you're like, how can we repackage this? Ah, Sanson part exchange. Good idea.
Well, it would have been, but that ship had sailed.
Anything else?
Just a small one. The headline caught my eye because I was thinking to myself, if you remember, cast your mind back a few weeks to the fuss and furore over Harry Maguire being at the Belfry for a round of golf. And then Notice this headline from the Daily Mail saying Emiliano Martinez hosts a party for his Argentina teammates who won the World Cup with him at the Belfry. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I didn't hear anything. I didn't see any screenshots of Messi or Rodrigo De Paul or anybody like that strolling into the Belfry. Surely that would have sent the ITKs.
That would have melted Villa.
That would have been hilarious, wouldn't it?
Foaming at the mouth, there would have been.
Emery assembling a team of Argentinian World Cup winners. They're all signing this week.
When I looked in there, I was expecting pictures, at least a picture, maybe a sub, maybe the third choice goalkeeper or something like that might have turned up, but no.
Maybe that Salty, what's Salt B, whatever his name
Salt
is?
Salt Bay.
Yeah.
Salt Bay, Cardi B, I don't know what his name is. Salty Bay, Salty Bean.
Salty Twat.
No, well, the only actual
Salty Twat, exactly.
The only other player I could see a photograph of was actually Felipe Coutinho. So he had nothing on, obviously, with Villa being knocked out of the FA Cup. So he rocked up as like a, must have been an honorary Argentinian for the night, even though he's Brazilian. It's probably the closest he'll get to the World Cup.
I guess I thought most of the squad are on there having a little weekend off, aren't they? They're all having little weekend breaks.
But I did notice Buendia was there. Maybe he'd managed to get like a chocolate World Cup winners medal created.
Exactly. This is what you could have won, Emmy party.
Yeah, this is pretending that he was in the World Cup winning squad for the sake of photos, etc. Sloppy research now. Now it's all about getting the story out. It doesn't really matter what the details are. Just as long as the headline gets the clicks, that's about it. Right. And the other side of the force, any media nuggets?
The best story I could see this week, it was covered by a few places. It's more in the question that was asked him. It's Duncan Ferguson taking over as manager at Forest Green. Now, Forest Green, you'll remember, are the famously carbon neutral football club and like a pioneer in like being sustainable.
If anybody screams having his steak rare, it's Duncan Ferguson, isn't it?
It is.
I can just imagine the blood dripping from his mouth. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had the unveiling video and they had him holding the scarf as well, everything else. But then the questions that he was asked, I'm not sure he was asking the question, but it was like he was being put in the spot by Greta Thunberg. First of all, they had a vegan beef burger sort of like put in front of his nose and he goes, I'll have to try that. He was asked about his sort of credentials there and he goes, this is brilliant, this line. Goes,
his environmental credentials.
Yes, he goes, we try at home, he replied. Obviously, I need to do a lot more, as we all do. The earth is warming up, isn't it? I mean, global warming, he's been under a rock or something. Yeah, the earth's warming up, isn't it? So we all need to do our bit. Since I've come here, I'm sure I'll learn a lot more. I mean, I'm sure he will learn a lot more about sustainability. I mean, they were talking about building a wooden stadium. Can you imagine if Big Dunk takes a temper tantrum? I mean, like, demolish a stand by just putting his foot through it.
Yeah, I'm a bit more concerned what happened at Bradford in terms of wooden stadiums.
But, we did do this as a 3-point, though, didn't we? A while ago. It's built with flame retardant wood.
Yeah.
Oh,
we,
yes.
We did the research. I even read the NCE article by the engineers.
You could never have pictured Duncan Ferguson rocking up there.
I forgot we were one of the only media outlets to actually do research. Sorry. And supporting this outlet that actually does research is the My Old Man Said members. As always, a big shout out to them and thank you very much for your support. When you become a My Old Man Said member, you get ad-free shows. And if ads are annoying, then this is obviously the perfect solution for that. Also, you get extra shows. So as well as the off-the-record show that I do, which will be talking about sponsorship, amongst other things, there'll be a mad few session of listeners' questions as well coming out in the next week. As well as that, you also hook in and get membership of our secret society match club. The only way to follow Villa sanely in these strange times of Bluebird apps run by electronic car salesmen.
Lex Luthor wannabes.
Anyway, a big shout out to the new members of the last week or so. Julie Stewart, Craig Day, Zach Murphy, Ashley Dingle. And also a big shout out to the annual members. If you join up as an annual member, you get 10% off, which is just over a month and a bit. Paul Desmond and upgrading their annual pledges. BB is William something, but we didn't get the name. And also Alan Jones, a massive thank you to all of the new members. And if you want to join us as a member, please do go to myomansaid.com. Click on the members link on the menu bar. If you're on a mobile device, you have to click the, is it the three or the four dashes to open up the menu bar? And click on the members link there and you'll get the details, or just go to the link tree on our social media bio and you'll find it there. Thank you very much. Right, time for some swift 3 points. Number one, Aberdeen, once great under Alex Ferguson, winners of the European Cup Winners' Cup once upon a time, have parted company with manager Jim Goodwin just 19 minutes after Saturday's 6-0 defeat to Hibs, who aren't exactly setting the world on fire themselves. This surely is faster than Gerrard's axing after that Fulham game. 19 minutes. What was it? He was probably like just about an hour or something.
Was it within the hour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The board had demanded an immediate response to the club's 1-0 defeat against sixth tier Darvel in the Scottish Cup. And I think Darvel is southwest Scotland. This was considered the club's worst ever defeat in their history and one of the biggest Scottish Cup shocks ever. Meanwhile, point number two, Nations League draw. Nothing to do with England nowadays. The finals will be in Holland. When do they take place? It's June, isn't it? Netherlands will play Croatia in Rotterdam. I remember something happened there in 82 at that stadium.
Ah, yes, of course.
Can't quite put my finger on what happened there.
One man on his shin.
The next day, on the 15th of June, in Fuentes Stadium, it is Spain versus Italy in the other semi-final. And actually, the final, there's a third and fourth playoff, but the final will again be played at Rotterdam as well. Marks the 41st anniversary of the biggest game ever played at that stadium, in my opinion, anyway. Right, point number three, who is Enigma and should Villa sign him? This is the guy that Villa really should sign, Monsieur Enigma, or Senor Enigma, yeah. Should I say. I don't know if listeners know about this, but I always call him General PK, but it's Gerard PK, has set up, it's like seven-a-side Kings League is what it's called. Kind of a fusion of ex-ballers and influencers in Spain have set this up. Basically, all the matches are streamed on Twitch. Squads include ex-players, legit players, and Spanish influencers. Matches are 40 minutes long, unlimited substitutions. Probably the best bit is the kickoff, isn't it? Where yeah. All the, what did you refer to it as?
Yes, like it's like murder ball. The ball goes into the middle and just everybody charges for it. Or maybe some teams I see send their quickest man towards the center circle. And
which is similar to water polo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. They generally arrive at the same time as well, and then it's a 50-50.
Crunch.
Yep.
So Enigma is this player who plays in a Mexican wrestler's mask. He plays in long sleeves because apparently he's got tattoos and he doesn't want to be identified. Now, this came along because he's actually a contracted La Liga player, and he asked permission to play in this tournament. He was told no by his club, so he decided, well, fuck them, I'm going to play anyway. So hence the disguise. Hence why he's playing in a Mexican wrestling match. Now, I think he's the perfect player for Villa to sign because absolutely neutralizes all the football manager stats boys because they'll have nothing to go on. They won't know who he is. You'd have to judge him and what your eyes show you. You know, you wouldn't be able to come up with YouTube videos analyzing what a signing he's going to be because you'd have no stats. You wouldn't know his previous. I think it's genius.
Yeah.
Sign him up.
I think every team should be just given an enigma at the start of the season. Just don't even tell you where he plays. Just here he rocks up.
Like the equivalent of an NFL draft, where every season you get an enigma. I don't know, how do you choose your enigma?
don't know.
Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to choose it. Maybe you just get given with it and you have to deal with what you give them. It's kind of like, you choose like from the secret box when you get the choice.
I think you take it in order, like lowest first to top. So you have first pick, but you just got to pick a number, 1 to 20. You've got blind no idea raffle. Who it is. And then he turns up. And then it'd be funny if Enigma didn't actually tell the manager what position he likes to play in.
That's what I'm thinking. He's mute.
Yeah, he's got to be mute as well. But the thing about the 20 Enigmas are they have to be really the best young new player or whatever. And it's up to the manager to find out his best position because he's mute. But anyway, I quite like this. It sounds quite madcap, this Kings League. It's very much like a lot of YouTubers have been setting up teams like hashtag United, and also what's happened in boxing. There's this kind of crossover from these mass social media audiences into sport, and the fusion has created new forms, which, while the purists always deride them, it's interesting, especially if you get stuff like this. What's not to like?
No, he didn't even give us full title. Enigma 69, that's his name.
Sorry, Phil. Even better.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Better. Right, so let's move on to the main part of the show where we just look at Villa's, because we've had a couple of weeks, and it's the transfer window.
And kind of the halfway point in the season as well, isn't it now, for us?
Yeah, we're not going too in-depth. We'll just focus on the transfer window, really. Is anything going to happen? So, as I said, this is 24th January meeting where they made this excuse. They couldn't have it at the start of January because it's the January window. And which is fair enough excuse, but why not have it in February, this meeting, as opposed to, with 1 week to go with the January window? Is that really implying that that's it? Business is done?
I don't think so. I still think Villa have got time to not necessarily pull one out of the bag, but get something over the line. We're not necessarily at the 11th hour just yet, obviously, at the time of recording.
I think we're only in opportunity knocks territory now.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've offloaded what we wanted to. Obviously, the Ings deal, probably they weren't necessarily expecting to do, but it arose, and that was an opportunity knocks, but in a different sense. You look down the squad, and we think, actually, we're reasonably well set. We've got a couple of players in each position. I think if they hadn't got rid of Ings, I don't think anybody would be panicking about everything else in terms of the way the composition of the squad, knowing that guys are coming back from injuries. We've had a few guys, someone like a Courtney Hawes come back off loan, and you got a few guys to make up the numbers if needs be. I think we're in reasonably good shape, but Emery's kind of said, I'm only going to bring in guys who are going to improve the starting 11. Well, we've said it on numerous occasions. If you're going to go and improve that starting 11, you've got to spend serious money.
Right, let me go back to this meeting that I did mention. At the end of the meeting, we were talking about, I phrased it, I said it's almost like it's two markets for sponsorship. It's the top six market, which is another world, another pool from, the rest of the Premier League when it comes to shirt sponsorship. I said, if you go back to before the World Cup, and Purslow did actually say in the previous meeting that we saw him, he wanted to be there or thereabouts. Basically, he wants to be at where we were and at least finish before the World Cup in touching distance. I think the exact phrase was in the mix. So in touching distance of
which we are,
the top half. Now, as I said to him, but that's where we were. But then fast forward and here we are at the end of January and we're actually only 3 points off the top six, which is probably unexpected when we were talking about this before the World Cup. Is this creating an opportunity knocks situation where you still have that window opened? And as a club, are we thinking, I didn't say to him, do we roll the dice? But I did say, is it an opportunity knocks? And maybe you put a little bit more emphasis on this transfer window. Or are you just keeping to a plan that you set at the start of the season? because when you look at that Ings signing, and you know, I said we can appreciate reasons why that signing was made, but ultimately we are weaker as a squad before we sold Ings. Now, if you're 3 points off Europe, you obviously want as strong a squad as possible. So, you know, that was my question. With those parameters, is this opportunity knocks, or are, you know, we're not that bothered about replacing Ings? Because Ings, now it's like you can't say to anybody to their face, well, we've got Duran. He's essentially the replacement for Ings. Because you're going, well, he's played one season in the MLS. He's 19 years old. If you fast forward to next season and you say, well, you know, and frame it as that, well, you know, we did get rid of Ings, but we did bring in Duran, who is now half a season Premier League up under his belt. Ings would be considered old further down the tracks. And you'd quantify that more as a straight-up swap, especially if Duran scored a couple of goals before the end of the season. So anyway, he said, he did pause. He was obviously, you know, how do I straight bat this? And he said, as a CEO, I do not run a club week to week. And, you know, it is a seasonal process. So they obviously budget for eighth or whatever, wherever they're budgeted. And, you know, it has been eighth the last couple of seasons. So the Ings situation would be in the bigger picture scenario. And so you're looking at him going, yeah, okay, that sounds like we're not going to do much, which is fair enough because we're in the zone of like potential rash spending.
Yes, we only have to look at last January's spending. Maybe they still feel they were burnt then with Rigadeen and Coutinho.
Yeah, and then you look at Samatta and whatever. But just finally, but then he did say, before we finished on that point, he said, well, put it this way, Unai Emery has not come to Aston Villa to be a mid-table manager. So that was just to basically reinforce what the ultimate ambition is. So it's very straight bat, but there's also, you can read it the way of like, okay, that's probably it. But also you can think, well, we're working on something, so we'll see. It's probably the latter.
Yeah, I mean, when he's spoken before, he's always said they strategically treat January and the summer window is essentially one in your seasonal strategy, as you've said. You know, he doesn't think about it week by week. So because of the way the management turnover has happened in the last, well, sort of space of a year and a half, Gerrard would have come in, wanted to back, you know, to move quickly in the January window. You obviously got the Digne deal in, you got the Coutinho deal. That would just be sort of pushed down into the summer spending. Obviously, they managed to get the Carlos Kamara deals as a body. That's the body of work as Gerrard, really. They probably weren't expecting Gerrard not to be there in January in terms of the longer term strategy. So they've had to be quite reactive to what they were going to do anyway. You know, we don't know if Moreno was a deal that they wanted to do anyway. Same with
he wouldn't have been there. He is the only signing.
He's happy to have him, because he knows him.
He's the only signing that is an Emery signing. Yep. Duran, you know, as it's been reported, we were looking at him for 6 months and had visited the US. You know, this is before Emery.
And Emery would probably go, yeah, okay.
And the Ings one would have been an offer from West Ham. The club would have looked at the financials and gone, right, yeah, this looks good. And then they'd have said to Emery, what do you think? We're out both of the cups. You know, if we may be 3 points off, but obviously there's the dormant threat, shall we call them, of Chelsea and Liverpool, and we'll mention them in a minute, who are just above us. But, you know, if they come alive, then suddenly, you know, getting in that European place is going to be tough. So shall we just do the deal, which is a good one financially in terms of the player's age and the fact that he's not a starter. And Emery, because the first thing Emery said, and we discussed this before, the first thing Emery said at that press conference, we're out of both of the cups, basically saying we don't actually need... You know, we're not going anywhere really this season. So it's not caution to the wind. Let's go for the European place. I think they're just being a bit more diligent and careful and looking at the bigger picture. And I would not be surprised if nobody comes in.
Yeah, the pragmatism of, well, there's a little window of opportunity that you could maybe sneak eighth, maybe seventh and get a Conference League place or something. But is it worth making huge decisions that, you know, you could look very foolish in 6 months to a year's time if those signings were to completely bomb? I don't think they want to do that. They're probably thinking, actually, have we got a good enough squad to finish where we would like to be, which is probably 8th to 10th? I would suggest yes. With the players coming back, when you think you've got Carlos back, McGinn back, etc., you've got a little bit more depth than people actually think.
But, I mean, the big question is the forwards situation, because if Watkins gets injured, then it's got to be classed as a red alarm, you know, red light alarm.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's where it's an interesting one, because surely if they wouldn't have let Archer go out and Ings go, I've said it a few times, you wouldn't let those deals happen if you didn't think you were fairly confident of bringing in something you thought, yeah, we can put our hat on that one. Surely you're not putting that much weight on the shoulders of Duran.
No, even if
Unless he just comes out of nowhere and he's like, you know, I think Phil said, if he could turn out to be a Benteke, which I don't see happening off the bat, but if he was to, you'd go, wow, what a masterstroke, well done you. But you've surely got to be sort of hoping for the best, but you've got to be planning for the worst as well.
No, I'm just thinking, even if you leave Archer at the club, if an injury happens to Watkins, you let Ings go, you're still short if you're putting it all on Archer's shoulders.
Yeah, I agree. You're in the same position, really. He's still putting, yep, you know, on a young lad's shoulders who's not played in the Premier League.
When you look at Duran, I mean, you know, you'll have various people who know more about the MLS than us. Some are raving, some are cautious, always side on the side of caution. I mean, the people who rave and hype are the ones that just want you to like and click and...
Well, I think there's
about
potential
clout.
There, right?
There's loads of clout. Let me finish. I'm not writing him off.
Yeah.
He's scored 8 goals, but he only started 14. And this, you know, Chicago Fire team were, you know, they finished bottom three of the East Conference of the MLS. You know, they were a dog team. Reasonably okay on the counter, but he only made 14 starts, but he scored 8 goals, which is, you know, similar to Danny Ings, made 8 starts and scored 6 goals. Most of his appearances were from the bench. Duran, I think he started off the bench when he was easing himself in. You know, he's made 27 appearances all in, and then he scored 8 goals. Doesn't sound that impressive, but when you see that he's only started 14 of those games, then it kind of makes more sense. But, you know, he's only 19. He's still a raw player, and maybe he's a raw diamond, or maybe he's a Jordan Barry.
Don't use those words on our podcast.
But no, joking aside, you, as a team that has designs for Europe, and as we've already said, that changes, you know, the sponsorship outlook and all kinds of things.
And the business you can do in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. You do not gamble it all on a 19-year-old from the MLS.
No.
Doesn't matter how, you know, what his potential is. So that would suggest, we know that Logic and Villa sometimes don't walk hand in hand. So Logic would suggest there might be something else coming in, whether it's a hybrid winger striker that could cover a Watkins absence. But the signs are, you know, I'm not surprised at all if we've done our business and we're just relying on maybe, you know, some opportunism popping up.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that we've opened up a loan berth, haven't we, with Bednarak? And you might be saying, actually, we could, you know, for example, there's a few guys at Chelsea on the fringes who aren't playing. I'm just going to throw the Hakim Ziyech name in the hat as that kind of player, where it would be a very much an 11th hour type of deal. Loads of people will be in sort of monitoring the situation. Chelsea would probably rather do a permanent deal, but actually, if they can get him off the books and you get him on a loan for a few months, those kind of deals, which they only happen in the last couple of days of the window.
Phil, Guendouzi, what do you think?
I think it's one for the summer, to be honest with you. If Emery rates him that much and he wants him, it'll be the summer when he knows who he's going to chop out to put him in, because at the minute, the hole in the Villa squad is a left, sort of like left playing forward. That's where the hole is. I mean, you can say you have Watkins and you have Duran, at least two. You don't have any sort of like natural wide left player at all. You've Bailey on the right and you can switch him over, but you've seen he's more effective in the right.
Yeah, or you play Ramsey there,
who's been out and out. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You've also got like Marseille's point of view, where they are third in the league and obviously gunning for the Champions League spots.
You've got Guendouzi's point of view, where he's thinking, I can go and play in the Champions League. I'm not going to do that at Villa.
Yeah, but Marseille's, first of all, they wouldn't want to let him go at this stage. I mean, they've been buying players in. People think it's just to cover Guendouzi going, but it's actually, well, they're trying to get they're at the upper echelon of the league. They want to confirm their Champions League spot, and they'd rather finish in the top two than third as well, to skip the qualification games. So there's that. So I would say the summer is more realistic if he's, you know, if Villa are really ready for such a perm, then probably the summer would be it. But, you know, this isn't definitive. As we've said, there's an opportunity knocks potential there to subvert anything we kind of say, any logic. But, you know, he was subbed off at half time in the last game.
Yeah.
When I referenced it, when I said, you know, Villa fans on Villa Twitter thinks he's now going to the airport to fly to Birmingham. That's why they had to sub him off. People go, oh, the joke's gone over your head. Well, you should see Villa Twitter, the build-up to that Marseille game, and it's like Hawkeye. Everybody's like looking at, if he's playing that close to the deadline, it's unlikely he's going anywhere. Logic dictates.
And it comes down to, again, who's the fall guy if you're getting him in? I mean, Kamara's playing well. Luiz is playing well. McGinn was playing well before he got injured.
Yeah, Ramsey's not coming back. Seasons, it's...
Yeah.
I don't see it. I really don't see it.
But also, you're going to be paying over the odds. It's not a rational buy.
Oh, you're held to ransom.
In this window. So we're not doing a Chelsea here.
I mean, who is?
Then you go through to De La Feu. I mean, he's in. I don't know whether we would got him or not. I don't know if.
Yeah, he was in the form of his career. I mean, Roma were trying to get him as well. I mean, just whenever Villa looked at him, he was one of the top scorers in Serie A, wasn't he? He was sort of keeping Udinese afloat.
But his injuries kiboshed that move, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, surgery's needed. And then Weston McKennie, I don't rate him that much, to be honest.
No, and I'm not surprised he's going to Leeds either. I mean, the pull of an American manager to bring in an American player, with how notoriously difficult it is for any American to play in the Premier League, you can't underestimate that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they were the obvious fits. And for where we want to go... And to improve what we've got to start punching a hole in the market of teams like Chelsea, who are dropping, you know, the best part of 180 million in the January window.
Which is more than many other leagues, is it not?
Well, it was more than Serie A, La Liga, Bundesliga and League One combined. And that wasn't even close. I think they spent about 178 million. All of those other European leagues, they spent 101. That shows the sheer power of the Premier League, or the actual Super League, should we call it,
yeah,
compared to the rest. And therefore, the competitiveness of the market, bearing in mind the pool that we were shopping in, now contains Newcastle, who, whether we like it or not, financially can blow us out of the water on any deal comfortably. You know, would we go and drop 45 million on Anthony Gordon? No chance. Would I want us to? No chance. So it's kind of like we are not in a position to make financially reckless decisions. And we've clearly got wealthy owners, but we do not have sovereign wealth, endless pockets. We've got to make savvier decisions.
There's old links that are dragged up, like Ismaila Sarr from Watford.
If we'd have wanted him, though, we'd have got him before.
We'd have got him.
If other teams that have wanted him, they'd have gone and got him. There's a reason he's still playing in the Championship. There has to be.
There's also the... he was very forthright in... was it Idrissa Gueye?
Yeah.
Who wasn't having any of the rainbow flag thing, and Sarr came out and, you know, backed him, which is fair enough in that context. But obviously it's not a good look for somebody who wanted to buy him, for example. You might consider him a difficult character or a character that's going to bring some smoke.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying Steven Gerrard's the best judge of character, but Gerrard didn't fancy it. If the deal was that close and we're led to believe that Gerrard just went the last minute, no, it's not for me. There's something in that.
So I don't think we're going there. Does the Dynamo Kiev centre-back, the 20-year-old...
Why would we buy a centre-back at this point?
Yeah, that was my immediate question. The journalists who are, let's say, without mentioning names, who are viewed as trusted sources, saying, oh, Villa after three players, one of them a centre-back. You're thinking, it doesn't work out. I mean, and then you see stories, oh, they're, you know, willing to listen to offers for Chambers. And you're thinking, well, Emery's worked with Chambers before. He's been... in Dubai, Carlos is coming back. He's not going to get rid of Chambers and then school somebody new completely, you know, during this, midway in the season.
And not when you've got, you know, worst case scenario, you've got Courtney Hawes coming back to the club for a few months. If you need, as I said before, if you need to sort of boost your bench or whatever, you've got options galore. And you're bearing in mind,
Courtney Hawes' options galore.
No, but in terms of like, he's
not going to get another centre back, and you've got Carlos coming in anytime next month, hopefully.
And in the spirit of trying to, he said, I only want to bring guys who can improve the starting 11. Cons is playing some of the best football he's ever played at Villa. Mings has really turned the corner post-Gerrard. I would suggest as a combination, as a centre-back pairing, they're playing as good as they were under that really good spell as under Smith, I would suggest. You know, someone like Carlos will be looking at it going, he's not a guarantee to get his place in the side straight away. He's going to have to earn that.
I don't have any problems with centre-back. It's like,
nope,
it's not
at all.
Not the team's problem. you're talking about long term playing it out the back, I think Cons is good on the ball. Mings can ping a crossfield pass.
Mm-hmm. You're just looking for consistency.
Yeah, I have no problems with Mings. Has got so much upside to that one brain fart he'll have.
Yeah, and the brain fart isn't a pass. That's not Mings' brain fart. Mings' brain fart is like a physical confrontation with the other player and falling over. You know, it's pass. If anything, Mings is the one that whenever passing out from the back isn't working, knows when to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed. And then in fullback positions, we're relatively well stocked as well.
Nico Williams.
Never going to
happen. Built about. Just God. Seems far-fetched.
Yeah.
BS.
I think people just want, it's the sort of, the FIFA, the champ, mate. It's just, oh, we just one more. You look at what we've got with a good coach. You get that squad firing, and that is a top half squad.
Because we're in a situation where we've been building this team, and you get it to a certain point where you can't just go out and buy three or four players, because it'll cost a lot of money to get good enough ones to get in that team that you've been building over a good couple of seasons. So the opportunity is the opportunity that knocks, where you do, oh, hell, hang on a minute, we've probably got to take this one and we'll write it off in the summer window.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really see it coming.
No,
there's no obvious fits. I mean, I'm open to Villa, unearthing a diamond in the rough. Wouldn't we all love to get another 2.5 million John McGinn type deal? More, in years gone by, a Benteke or whatever. But if that's not on, then it's not on. And you kind of, I'd much rather at the end of the season be recording our end of season show going, wow, Emery really got a tune. McGinn's playing the best football. Ramsey's gone up another level. Buendia's finally really leveled up. And he's got Watkins actually confident of finishing. You'd much rather see what we've got at its peak.
Because as we've said, there's so much upside to most of these players, because most of them have been underperforming the last couple of seasons because probably the managers, formations, whatever reason you want. But we know the attributes, the attributes that these players are hyped on when they sign, and everybody's doing the YouTube clips and raving about them. And then after a couple of weeks, they've forgotten about them and they're looking for the next signing. The reality is that you pay the money, you expect some returns. And these players, hopefully under Emery, will give us that. And then Emery, after a full half a season with them, will have a lot clearer and a better idea of what exactly he needs and what he actually needs to ship out. He's already worked out what riffraff he needs to ship out. The players on the kind of periphery of things.
And because we don't have fixture backlog, we don't need to think about heavy rotation or keeping guys fit.
Yeah.
Get your team right, and then you can use your bench, which is used generally pretty well, I would say, since he arrived.
Speaking of Emery, David, what's an Emery's clipboard this week?
Ah, I'm glad you asked, Phil. Right, Emery's clipboard for the uninitiated is a little bit of fun at the end of the show, where hopefully you'll learn something about statistics, which is all the rage. That's why we want the Enigma 69 player to sign for Villa, which will nullify some of these inane statistics. Right, this one you should be able to nail easily. Are you ready for this?
Yep,
always.
This is fouls won. The weirdest thing about this is Grealish isn't in our team anymore. Yet we lead the Premier League with fouls won. The question is, how many fouls have we won so far this season?
Wow.
I'd normally give you the clue of the top and the bottom. Now, if I gave you the top, that would kind of compromise the whole idea of this Emery's clipboard.
Is it just, we just get one shot?
I'll give you the bottom team, since Villa are top, on the fouls won. You've just got to guess how many fouls Villa have got.
Okay.
So bottom of the fouls won, and this is surprising, Manchester United.
What?
Wow. On 143.
They are efficient these days.
I will now each give you a chance to pick a team. And then after that, you will make your first guesses. Phil Shaw is undisputed 2023 champion. So you can choose if you want to go first or second in the picking and the guessing.
No, that's right. I'll go first. Give us Spurs.
Spurs have 170 fouls won.
Okay. Right.
You don't have to guess yet. Wait until Chris's team.
Give me Leeds, please.
212.
Oh, yeah, I thought as much there physically.
I just believe that's my first guess. changed a lot.
This is a weird one because we know that Villa's top, so it's higher than whatever is out there.
Right, I'll go 234.
234 from Phil. Chris Burt's first guess.
235.
Oh, he's playing that Dan Rogers style approach to life.
No, just for this one.
Right, you get another team request. We'll both pick a team. Phil first.
Arsenal, please.
219.
Who was that, sorry?
Arsenal.
Can't believe they're not top.
I can. Newcastle. They're physical, aren't they?
Newcastle, 210.
Getting much closer.
So, Phil.
Yeah, all right. I will go 229.
So, what was your first guess?
234.
So, why are you going lower than that? Oh, just in case that's above it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Sorry, what was it?
229.
229. Have you shot your load or are you in the ballpark, Chris Bird, for redemption?
220.
220. Right, one final round of pick a team and then we'll go to the final offerings.
We're clearly not that close then.
Phil Shaw.
Chelsea.
240.
Ooh, wow. Curveball.
Chris Bird's pick.
Do I try and go for a curveball? Man City.
They have Grealish in their team. 187. Obviously not using him.
No, David, they have him in their squad. They definitely don't have him in their team.
Right, final guesses.
He knows this.
Final guesses. What are we going for, Mr. Shaw?
246.
Chelsea has opened it up. 246. Chris Budd at the Occhi.
250.
Blazing over the 240. But it was enough to get you as close as possible to the mighty Villa, who I didn't know they got fouled so much. Why aren't we taking advantage of these set pieces? We've got a set piece expert, for God's sake. 255.
That's ridiculous. In 20 games.
Who was the next nearest then?
Just Crystal Palace, 254, and then it was your boys, ooh, Chelsea.
Right, wow. So Villa and Palace are way out in front.
Yeah, so that was an interesting twist on Emery's clipboard, where Villa start off as the highest, and you got to work out how high you go. Congratulations, Chris Bird. You have put your first foot on the ground in the year 2023.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Hopefully, listeners, you were playing along and managed to get 255 on the dot. Although, pretty difficult, though, this one, actually, despite the twist-a-rooney in the gameplay.
Mm.
Right. Anything else before we check out and prepare ourselves for the visit of the Foxes? There's a game that, if we win, should be in the top half of the table, shouldn't we?
Surely, depending on the fixtures, but yeah, Chelsea play Fulham on the Friday night, so that could be an interesting one. There's almost a full round of matches on the Saturday, which is strange.
Brentford, Liverpool, or Chelsea would have to draw or lose.
Mm.
I mean, Brentford would just need a point, and that we couldn't get above them unless we absolutely destroyed Leicester. I mean, a swing of like 8 goals or something ridiculous.
And Chelsea play Fulham.
But if Liverpool and Chelsea fail to win, we will go above them.
Annoyingly, I can see them all getting results.
And then we've got to play Arsenal and Manchester City, so we may not get in that top half for a while yet.
Frustrated, but
who are Palace playing?
Palace play United away.
Now, if Palace lose that and Villa beats Leicester, then that opens up
the end of the season, really.
A nice 7-point gap between Villa and the rest.
They're cut adrift then.
Yeah. But hopefully we won't be caught in 11th limbo until the rest of the season. But yes, we would need Liverpool or Chelsea not to win or Brentford to lose to actually have any chance of moving up in the table after a Leicester win. So it's more of a consolidation win, as was the Southampton game. That shows you where we've come from. And we're now on the kind of precipice of breaking that top half, but it's not as easy as we first expected. I think we might need something from Arsenal and Manchester City to kind of stay in the equation, because surely Liverpool and Chelsea are going to start to fire up, but all will be revealed. Until we meet again, please do follow the show on Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast you listen to. Follow us on social media as well, at My Old Man Said. There's a TikTok. If I had time, I would do something with it. But it's at My Old Man Said. Maybe I'll find some time. Also, if you want to join fellow listeners to discuss things in more depth, please do go to the Mad Few Facebook group. The link will be in the show notes. And that's our private group for listeners of the show. But obviously, best of all, join us as a My Old Man Said member. Right. Until Leicester, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.